helps you get to that deepest layer, that unconscious, that real reason and deeper motivation for why is this really important to me? Why is this meaningful to me? And once we're aware of what that is, that's what can really drive you forward.
Welcome to Wealth Embodied. Together, along with some amazing guests, we'll explore and tap into our innate abundance and have meaningful conversations about developing our ability to embody the vibration of wealth while also uncovering new ways to think, feel, and cultivate our relationship with money so we can live our lives wealthy and aligned. Let's welcome our host, Alara Sage.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Wealth Embodied, where we activate and inspire you in your wealth consciousness, in your creative genius, and in your visionary impact. I'm your host, Alara Sage. And my beloveds, oftentimes when we think about creating the life that we love, doing the things that we really desire to do and create, we think that sometimes it's the big actions, it's the big things, it's the big decisions, it's the big pivots in our life that have this massive impact. And simultaneously, what about all those little moments, the little choices, the little acts, the little decisions and moments in life that add up and absolutely create an impact in our reality? And this is what we're going to dive into today with our wonderful guest here, Kim Fisher, who is a certified budget coach, world traveler. Love that. Me too. And a mom who recently adopted two young kids with her best friend and husband. Several years ago, she took her finances into her own hands, paid off $4,000 of unsecured debt, and increased their net worth by, get this, 6,000%. Her years of figuring how to take control of her finances turned into helping accomplished women entrepreneurs do the same. Kim, my love, welcome so much to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you were the one that came up with the idea of the topic today of these little things. So first off, let's start out. Why is that important to you?
It's important to me because one of the things that I struggle with the most is patience. That's patience with myself, patience with progress, patience with my goals. And I was thinking about that, and it's actually perfectly connected to the intro, because for me, I always thought that wealth, abundant money, would sort of come in a more instantaneous fashion. I don't know why I had that expectation. I think it somehow was embedded in my upbringing, or maybe our culture, you know, that instant satisfaction. And the way that I built up my wealth and our finances, and the way that we reached increasing our income by 6,000%, was by taking little actions every day and being consistent. And I don't think I ever really understood the value of that until a few decades into my life. And it applies to so many different things, you know, not just to building wealth, but any of our goals. In fact, I ended up writing a book. I haven't published it yet because I want to have more voices added into it before I publish it. But somebody once told me, and this was years ago, they said, you know, you can actually write a book just by spending 10 minutes every day and dedicating that towards writing a book. So I thought, oh, I can do that. I can do 10 minutes. I can find 10 minutes in my crazy busy day. And I did. And it's surprising to find that sometimes that 10 minutes would, you'd have that flow and that feeling of it's really moving. And I'd want to spend more than 10 minutes. But really, you can do things if you just spend and dedicate 10 minutes every day toward what you're working towards.
I love that. I too lack patience. I shouldn't say, I mean, I've learned to have more patience.
Yeah.
10 minutes is one of those things that it's such a small chunk of time. I think it's an easy thing to say. I can definitely do that for 10 minutes, but it adds up, doesn't it? And I love how you speak to consistency.
Yeah.
I think that's oftentimes where people, including myself, can go astray, right? It's okay, I'm going to start this, whatever this is. And then somewhere along the lines, where did it go? We lost it, right? So how did you maintain the consistency with building your wealth, particularly in times where it wasn't really there, or you didn't feel wealthy. So it's easier to kind of like look away, right?
Yeah, for sure. No, that's a great way to put it. My family and I went to the beach this summer, and we ended up visiting the Wright Brothers monument, and they have a museum there, and it talks about their history and the influence of their mother and the influence of their sister. And I think the number was, I think they tried flying over 1,000 times and failed more than 1,000 times before they actually caught air. And I was thinking about that. And it's such a great lesson for my kids and for me. And I thought, how many times? And when you think about their situation and how back then technology is not what it was today, traveling to get to where they wanted to go, they had the perfect wind. Time was impossible at that time. I mean, to everyone who existed at that time, flying was literally impossible for a human being to fly. And so many things that we are striving for, I think, they feel impossible for us. They're like, oh my gosh, how could I ever reach that goal? How could I ever write a book? How could I ever have the amount of money that I want or live the life that I want to live? And it was such a good reminder to me. And I think for me, what motivates me and helps me stay consistent is seeing results. And the tricky thing is they didn't see results. I mean, they saw little, maybe micro results, and they would have to change things. And I think for me, I was so tired of living in this pattern. And I was starting to see other people achieve what I wanted to achieve. And at least I could see it wasn't impossible. You know, it's not like I was trying to fly when nobody had flown before. It was, okay, I've seen other people take control of their money and find a way to prevent it from leaving. You know, we weren't really into getting into much debt, but we could never save enough money, you know, and every time we would save money, it would just sort of go out the door. Some expense would come up, and it was a necessary expense. Why? Where is this money going and why? And I think I was so motivated to change the way my life was going. So the caveat that I want to add in here is that sometimes at the beginning, it's a little bit heavier. It's a little bit bigger than 10 minutes, right? Sometimes there's that you have to put a little bit of extra work and extra effort to get it going. Case in point, I'm actually trying to teach myself guitar right now. And I think before I used to want to be good at guitar. I will never be good at guitar. I'm just saying that now. That's just not, you know, it's not my motivation. My motivation right now is just to remind myself what it's like to learn something new so that I can relate to my clients, so that I can remember what it's like. And if I try and do just 10 minutes on the guitar, I found these 10 minute lessons on YouTube, and it ends up really being 15 minutes for the actual video. And then they want you to practice an extra 10 minutes. So it's really 25 minutes. So I think at the beginning, sometimes it can take more than 10 minutes. So you have to have that. You have to have a deeper motivation, a sense of why am I doing this? What is the end goal? And then once you get that heavy lifting out of the way, like for us, it was setting up our budget in the correct way. Once we got that heavy lifting out of the way, it literally only takes me 10 to 15 minutes every day to keep things updated, right? So sometimes there is a little bit more of a bigger effort to kind of get over that hump, to kind of build things and set things up the way that you need to have that foundation in order to keep moving forward. And so I think finding a deeper motivation, finding the reason, and your deeper sense of why am I doing this? What am I aiming for to stay motivated? But then once you get that foundation built, it becomes so much easier. You know, I'm not there yet with guitar. I literally have learned two chords and are supposed to move between the two chords. And it takes a lot of effort. And so I want to practice that a whole bunch and probably spend 20 minutes or as long as my fingers can handle it at the beginning until I get a little bit more of a flow, get some calluses built up. And then I can probably go to 10 minutes a day. So just thinking of the process and the progress and what it takes to aim for something new, especially when it doesn't feel possible, can be really challenging. But one of the things that I work on with clients is I actually have an exercise, a very simple exercise that helps people find their deepest reason why. And it gets to that unconscious level where the examples I use is, if I have a goal, let's say I have a health goal of having 6-pack or, you know, some sort of health goal. Oh, I want to have a 6-pack. Is that reason going to be motivating enough to get me out of bed when I am hormonal, didn't sleep well, not feeling well? Is that going to be enough to get me out of bed, do the things that I want to do in order to reach my goals? Probably not. I'm lying there, 6-pack. No, I don't care about 6-pack right now. So what it does is it helps you get to that deepest layer, that unconscious, you know, currently it's unconscious, but it's in there, that real reason and deeper motivation for why is this really important to me? Why is this meaningful to me? And once we're aware of what that is, that's what can really drive you forward and help you do that heavier lifting at the beginning.
Yeah, the why is imperative. And it really does elicit that passion, right? And that deeper power of self to push us through these difficult situations. I mean, that's what the Wright brothers had, was passion. Thomas Edison was like the same thing. He had over 1,000 fails of creating electricity recognizing electricity. And same thing, like everybody's saying, like, that's impossible. Like, you can't even do that. Like, you know, like that's quite a feat. But that passion, that inner knowing of why, and allowing that to move us through those moments. And that's really great advice. And we can remind ourselves of that why in those moments when, really don't want to, whatever, it's laying in bed, you don't want to get to work out, you don't want to look at your finances, you don't want to, you know, let's flip it the other way. Like, you want to go out of current financial situation and overspend, right? Because you really want something. But if you redirect yourself to the why that you're doing this, is that something that you want in that moment more powerful than the why? You know, because most likely it's not, right? And you speak a little bit to that, where you speak about, you know, a living budget and having this awareness of that why, right? Of like what those accounts are for, the why of each of those accounts, what those accounts stand for. And in those moments when I think you mentioned like a $70 sweater, you know, and you've only got $60 in the account, where is that priority? And I think that why stems back to that.
Exactly. Yeah, because then you have your baseline of what is my purpose here? What am I really trying to achieve? You know, because if you're in the moment, the sweater's so cute, I really want it, you know, and you're not really thinking about the bigger picture. So yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, you know, bring it down to 10 minutes, and that just feels so much more manageable than, my gosh, I have to spend hours upon hours figuring this out and doing this. You know, having a strategy, having a plan, you know, having a guitar lesson or whatever it is that you're using to foring, having a plan and a path is really important to that too.
Yeah, and I think having the why constantly in your awareness, because it's like we're talking about, it's all the little actions. And interestingly enough, it's not just the little actions that we think are correlating to our money, right? With regards to wealth, like it is all of the actions.
Right.
We are, you know, vibrationally a different person than our desired state is vibrationally a different person than our current state. So we have to become that person. And all of our actions are what create that personality, that identity. So bringing that why, reminding yourself why, what am I really wanting to create, is so important throughout the day, you know, that remembrance. Right. So with regards to wealth, what were some of those little actions that really helped you create, reestablish your financial situation?
Yeah. So for, and I want to kind of segue from what you were just saying too, about keeping it at the forefront, having it written down, you know, what your why is, what your reason is, and putting it, you know, on your mirror, in your bathroom, in your car, on your phone, little reminders, adding it to your vision board. That's what was really powerful for me. I have to go there mentally doing my visualizations. And one thing that really helps me is listening to music that's very inspiring and uplifting. That changes the way that I feel. And that in turn changes my brain, especially when I'm visualizing what it is that I'm trying to achieve. So that goes a long way, you know, changing. It's like you said, you know, it's in every aspect of your life. You can't just, I would like to have more money and that's it. I don't want anything else to change in my life. That's not really how it works, right? It is an internal and very deep level. So can you say your question again? I think you're asking about what it was that I, like the little habits that I changed or?
Yeah, those little acts that really helped to create your wealth.
Yeah. So it was spending a little bit of time every day. And for us, it was, you know, we had actually, I'd set up a budget for us and thought, okay, why isn't anything changing? You know, because we could see where our money was and what was going on. And I did a whole bunch of research to figure out what was it that we needed to do in order to make this actually change things. And it was a little bit tough because my husband at the time was very skeptical and very reluctant. He's like, budgets tend to be, you know, they deprive you. I don't want to feel deprived. He's like, I still want to get coffee. I still want to do my fantasy football. I still want to, you know, he has his things that he loves doing. And he was worried that if we started budgeting, that it would mean that he wouldn't be able to do the things that he loved. And I said, well, how about this? I'll do it for me first. And then if you like it, we can loop you in. So one of the things that was super important, this was a game changer. So I had mentioned before that we would save money up and then something would show up and we would have to spend money. So one of the things that made the biggest difference for us was when I started accounting for all of our expenses. So one of the things that has to happen in order for money to grow without bringing in more income is to be able to trust your budget. And in order to trust your budget, you have to know what all of your expenses are. And that includes all of the non-monthly irregular type expenses. So one thing that's common in the States is car insurance is usually not due for 6 months or a year. And so what happens? The bill comes in, we're like, shoot, I forgot about this. Now, you know, this money I've been saving up for other things now have to go towards my car insurance. So instead of waiting for that to happen or seeing that as an emergency and using my emergency fund, we started accounting for and going through all of our records and saying, okay, what are the things that we spend money on an irregular basis, non-monthly basis, and take that amount annually and divide it by 12 and then set that money aside every month. And it was amazing. And it takes a little bit of time, right? Because if it's September and your car insurance is due in December, you have to save up a lot of money between now and then to get back to ground level, to ground zero for saving up for next year. But then starting in January, you've got your 1/12 of your car payment or your car insurance payment set aside in January, February. So by next December, that money is just sitting there ready and waiting for you. So when we started doing this, our money started growing. And the beauty of this is that especially if you tend to be a spender and you tend to go into debt, this was also the key to preventing us from going into further debt. So before you start paying off huge amounts of debt, it's really important to get to the point where we know what all of our expenses are. It's so clear. We can trust our budget. We know where our money's going. Then your emergency fund is almost untouched because you've plugged up all the holes where money was leaking out first. And now you have a very clear sense of this is actually what our money is. This is how much we have coming in and this is how much we need to spend. And then it becomes super clear, like you were talking about the sweater example, what the trade-offs are, which I really, really want that sweater, but I don't have enough in that category. But you know what? We've got a little bit of extra in groceries, so I'm going to pull from there. So it becomes very clear, transparent, what the trade-offs are and where that money is coming from, where it's going. And your priorities become your money. You start to spend based on your priorities rather than on a whim. So I would say that was probably the biggest thing that changed our finances. In fact, at that point, when our money started growing and accumulating and we weren't losing money left and right for expenses that we didn't think were coming, my husband said, actually, this is kind of cool. Can I try that? And I was like, sure. Here's how much we have set aside for coffee. Here's how much we have set aside for fantasy football. Here's the things that he loves doing. And now he loves budgeting because he can see how it's grown our wealth. It's grown our awareness and it's increased our feels like we have more time, you know, because we're not spending all this time worrying and wondering and where's our money going and can we afford this, making those decisions.
me, it feels very intentionalized, right? Like it's an intentional act. You're being very intentional with everything that you're spending, which really opens up the conversation, you know, because every time we spend money, I love to really love, send gratitude, really appreciate the money that it is there, that I am, whatever it's going to, you know, the things that I love and even the things that, you know, are more of a requirement or obligation. I still like, I'm so grateful that I have this money that goes to this. And so I feel, you know, with that, that really draws your awareness to kind of a, in a hyper way, everything you're spending, and offers you that opportunity to feel that gratitude, to feel that appreciation, to celebrate whatever really resonates with you. Because I think one of the biggest things with people is just kind of the money just going, right? And, you know, like subscriptions are one of these things that like I love in a lot of ways, but I also don't love them because then, you know, it's like, oh, it got charged. Okay. Like I have to pause now, send my gratitude towards that. Cause it's not like I am now choosing to go and pay that subscription. You know, it's something that just happens. And so I'm always like, I love it, I hate it. I don't know. I got to be intentional about it. But that's what it really feels to me, is that it really opened up the doors for you guys to be very intentional with what you're spending. Do you practice that experience of gratitude or appreciation or something along those lines? Is that part of your practice?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you brought that up too, because in just the way that you described it, you know, feeling that gratitude and expressing that gratitude and being active and practicing gratitude. I always thought, you know, I remember as a kid, people would say, well, just be grateful, just be grateful. Well, how do you just be grateful? But it's a practice. It's getting myself in a state of humility and receiving. And I think for me and for so many women that I've met and know, receiving is such a difficult thing. You know, we're taught to give, and do. But whenever I practice gratitude and really just tune in and feel that sense of how this just feels so good to receive, then it changes the energy and allows me to receive even more. So I love that you said that you were talking about that you feel gratitude for things, because I think it's sort of a two-way thing, right? Where we practice gratitude and it allows more come our way. So, you know, in fact, I don't have like a specific process or practice of gratitude per se, but I do notice when I'm not practicing gratitude, it starts to feel stiff and I start to kind of go into control mode. I need to control things. I need to figure things out and make things happen. Whereas when I remind myself, look at what I already have, look at how far I've come. And that's actually something working with clients too. So much of it is, why am I not where I'm supposed to be? Why am I not reaching my goals? And I do that too. I get stuck in that pattern too. And I would say the key to that is to come back to gratitude and come to a place of, but look how far I've come. Look where I used to be. And I used to wish I was where I am now. You know? And if I don't stop to feel that sense of shift and the changes that have occurred and where I am now and appreciate that, it kind of keeps the blinders on. So it's harder for me to see the pathways toward what I'm looking for.
Absolutely. I'm the same way. I have to consciously stop myself and remind myself how far I've come, because I love growth and expansion. So I'm always looking forward and like, yes, I love this so much. And it's so powerful to pause. Look how far you've come. You know, you can look back 6 months, back a year, look back 5 years, you know, and it's like, Wow, I have come such a long ways. And that's, It's like that internal validation that is really powerful. It goes back to kind of like that why. That's a really great way to spark that why, because we can see the evolution, you know, we can see the growth. And it's inspiring. Like, I just did that.
If we don't take time to celebrate, then it just becomes this, you know, we're just these machines trying to do and move forward. But having that sense of, wow, I just did this. And I have to, and it goes back to that, what we were talking about with patience too. I get so impatient with myself. It's almost like it took me a while to get where I am. But when I really think about it, it wasn't that long. it felt long while it was happening, but now that I'm here, like, that was really fast. So now my next call, I'm like, well, this should be happening sooner. Why is this happening even faster? And then I get impatient with myself again. So it's like, okay, come back to here. You know, I have to have friends. And that's why having friends and having mentors and having coaches so helpful, because they can reflect that their perspective is outside of my little head spinning these little wheels. And they look and they go, Kim, look at where you were 3 years ago. And look at how much things have changed and how much you've accomplished. And look at where you are with your family and with your home and with, you know, fill in the blank. So
yeah,
it's, we always need to be reminded of how far we've come, to have patience with ourselves and be kind to ourselves. Because I tell you what, you know, people give me tools and I'll use them as weapons to beat myself over them, you know. But what I try and practice and what I try and teach people is that tools are meant to be used as tools, not as weapons, right? We need
love
to be
that statement.
Yeah, I actually had one mentor, she said to me, she said, if you have to beat yourself up, use a feather. And I actually, it's funny because right around that time I found this little, it was the tiniest feather I'd ever seen. And I kept it and I put it in this little jewelry box that I have. And I would remind myself that if you have to beat yourself up, use this little feather.
That's another really important point too, because that is a little act that we can do regularly. It's massive, you know, self-love, self-appreciation. It goes a really long ways in increasing our power, increasing our impact. It's something, again, you know, it takes a minute just to pause and recognize yourself, appreciate yourself, love yourself, wherever you are in that journey to the depth that you can. Because, you know, self-love isn't always the easiest thing, but even just appreciating yourself like we're talking about now, I think everybody can say, okay, I can look at where I've come and appreciate that.
Yeah,
that's really big in really creating more spaciousness to fulfill your dreams further moving on. Know right. that you talk about pushing the river. It's a wonderful comment, because I often speak about walking up the river. If you like try to move up the river, you have all this water coming against you. Then you have everything that floats down the river, like the trees and the limbs and all these things are hitting you. And man, it's a lot of work, right? Like, you are now expelling a great deal of energy when all you could do was let go and flow, right? Move with the river. Very similar to what you teach with pushing the river. How do you find, you really stop yourself, let's say this, or how do you re-divert yourself? Any moments with these little acts, you know, the daily looking at your budget, the little things that you're doing throughout your day, sure that you don't start moving up the river or pushing the river in more of that control energy that is so easy for so many of us get caught in.
Yeah. And I think that's the first thing to remember, is that we're not alone, you know, because what I'll do is I'll feel like I'm the only one on this planet who goes into control mode and tries to direct things. And that's just not true. Yeah. So a mentor of mine, she said, Kim, don't push the river, let it flow. And it's just that statement. And I laughed out loud when she said it, because I had this image of actually trying to push the water downhill in a different direction than the river was going, and how it would be such an act of futility, try and re-divert, you know, just with my own strength. And that sense of flow does not come naturally to me. But what I have done is I've tuned in. I've had a lot of anxiety in my life, and used to really resent and get frustrated with the anxiety. Like, I shouldn't be having the anxiety. So they're sort of beating myself up for having anxiety. And what I've been learning over the years, and I'm trying to say I'm still learning it, because I don't know that I've ever fully learned something, but what I'm learning is that my sense of anxiety is actually a gift that's tuning me into those times when I'm going into control mode. When I'm trying to do everything on my own, not asking for help, getting into a space of frustration or resentment. And so the more I notice it, the more I can tune into that and listen to that and see it as sort of an inner voice saying, you're kind of going down that path again. And remember how it ended last time. Remember how it felt last time. Remember what happened last time. So when I feel it, I'm starting to notice sooner and sooner when I feel that sense of anxiety. What needs to happen now? What will support me? Am I beating myself up? Am I going into control mode? Am I not being kind to myself? Am I not practicing gratitude? And noticing where that energy is coming from and shifting it. And it's, you know, it's sort of like we were talking about that heavy lift earlier. It's the same thing with, you know, a state of mind or emotion where it's so difficult to shift it when you're in it. You know, if I'm in a state of just sadness or depression or anxiety, get myself out of that feels like this heavy lift. But that's when I turn to the tools that I've learned, which could be things like uplifting music, something that'll try and get me out of it fast if I can, going for a walk, being outside, breathing fresh air, shifting my state to help me get out of that. So those are the biggest things for me. And just thinking of sayings like that, like, don't push the river, let it flow. You know, sometimes I have little sticky notes throughout my house. Like I'll pull open a drawer and it'll say, you know, one of my slogans or something that reminds me my why, which can shift my energy just to have those little reminders. But it's so important. It's so important because nothing changes until I change myself internally, you know? And like I said, it can be hard, you know, when I think about the brain and these pathways that we have set up already, they're so easy, those habits, those habitual automatic things that we do. And so it's whenever we're trying to do something new, that's why it's a little bit more effort at the beginning until we make that new thing a habit. So one of my goals is to make it a habit that whenever I notice anxiety or going into control mode, to use that as a signal to shift my direction and my focus.
Yeah, that's so wonderful. And I know that a lot of people deal with anxiety, and I always say anxiety is a powerhouse. It's such a beautiful thing because it is showing you. It's trying to draw your awareness, as are all emotions, right? It's a guidance system. If we just don't listen to the emotion, we just continue on that path. But what you're saying is you hear the emotion, you listen to it, and then you're able to shift your vibratory state of being, which is, those are the moments, right? This is what we're talking about today. Those are the moments where you're making a choice, you're altering your vibratory state, your energy, and those are the things that add up. Every time you do that about anxiety, right, you're pulling yourself out of whatever it is, the control or the not really being kind to yourself, and you're bringing yourself into a new vibration. And now you're rewiring your neural pathways and your subconscious mind. You're telling yourself, no, this is important to me. I'm listening. So beautiful, and so incredibly powerful. Had a question. I don't know what happened to it.
Well, something came up. If you don't mind me jumping in. Yeah. In fact, that's one of the things that we notice when just having kids is they're always asking, like, how do they do? They see something amazing or see somebody doing something, even if it seems simple to me, like they're riding a skateboard. I mean, not that I can ride a skateboard, but they see something that I see on a regular basis. How do they do that? And now they know all I have to do is say, well, you know the answer to that. What's the answer? And they say, oh, practice. And I want them to learn that, because when I was little, for some reason, I know that I had a lot of perfectionism too, but had this feeling or this awareness or this belief that I had to do everything perfectly when I first tried it. Did you? And then I would talk about beating myself up. If I wasn't perfect or really good at it when I first tried it, I would feel defeated and totally discouraged. So I really want to instill in them a sense of, you know, nobody does something perfectly or really well their first time. And as we shouldn't, this is about learning and growth. And when you just, there's something that you love and you really want, you practice it every day. And it was so cool because our daughter, this was when she was 5, she didn't know how to snap her fingers. She really wanted to. And so every day she was just, she'd walk around the house and she would just, and then one day she went and now she can snap her fingers. And so I try and use that as an example too, whenever she gets frustrated with herself, to be like, but remember when you didn't know how to snap your fingers and you just focused on it and you practiced every single day until you could do it.
Yeah.
You know, just the things that I didn't have growing up, I really want to try to give that to them so they can have that sense of, this is how life works. It's not just you snap your fingers, no pun intended, and it happens or it changes, but you have to, you know, put the work in and practice every day. See yourself doing it.
It's huge because, yeah, I mean, we all have our talents, and I always say things that come easy to us, you know, they're gifts to the world. they're not where we grow and learn, you know, because whatever comes easy to us comes easy to us. It's really not for us. It's for us to give out. Where we grow, where we learn, the gifts that we give to ourselves are actually the things that we find really challenging.
Yeah.
Keep showing up
I
for.
That.
We I build that resilience. We're like, wow, again, like we said, like, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. Like I stuck it out. I did it. I continued to show up. And this is how far I've come. And there was a great quote that somebody recently said to me that I just love, like, do the hard thing first. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is the hard thing. I'm going to do that. Like, I'm going to step into that challenge rather than like we put it off or we wait. We don't want to do it because it's challenging. And then it just builds up when we actually just do, like you said, at the beginning, it's a little bit harder. Just do the hard thing first. It becomes easier. Now you're finding that flow, that rhythm, and you're making your life much easier just by saying, oh, the challenging thing, I'll step into that.
I love that. And in fact, I have a timesheet, a weekly timesheet that I fill out at the end of every week to prepare for the following week. And wow, it just completely left my mind.
Hard
what
thing
was the
first,
last
maybe?
Thing you said?
Do the hard thing first.
Yeah. So I'll have my, and so I'll schedule, it'll be here, the things that are scheduled. Here are my goals and my priorities. And then I'll have a little checklist. And whenever, and I try and put the hardest thing first, the thing that I'm most reluctant to do. A lot of times the hardest thing is the thing that will actually get me furthest toward my goal, but it feels scary to me. But I will put that at the top of my list and I won't always do it first, but my goal is to do that first. And every time I do that one first, it feels amazing. It's not just a relief. It's a sense of empowerment. Like you said before, it's like, well, I did that. And then everything else is just so much easier after that. You know, it just sort of flows.
It's really powerful. I do the same thing with working out. I get up, I meditate first, and then I go work out. And it's always been the way because for me, it makes me feel good. Like I've done that. That's out of my way. And it lifts me up. It makes me feel empowered. Like I just did that. You know, I just got my body moving. I feel so good. And it feels very similar, even more powerful what you're saying of like, what is the most challenging thing I need to do this week? Bring that to the forefront. Now you've got that out of the way. You know, it's so funny, isn't it? Because we let it sit in the background, nagging at us. You got to do this. I want to do that. And then when we actually sit down and do it, it's really not that big of a deal. And we feel so much relief once we've done it. Oh, yes, to do that first. And like, Absolutely. How does that make you feel for the rest of the week? That's a really powerful piece of advice.
Yes. Game changer. Yeah.
Absolutely. So my love, I think we've given a lot of really great advice here and everything today. Is there anything you also want to say to the audience for somebody who doesn't see what those little things are throughout their day that they can be taking if they're focused on the big issue, the big dilemma, the big challenge, the big problem? How can they break that down into little bite-sized pieces that they can add those little bite-sized pieces up to that one giant cookie?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. You know, the most powerful thing I can share about that is find somebody who's done it before. You find somebody who's done it before and has broken it down. You know, it's like the guitar lessons. I had to sort of dabble around, do some searches. You know, who's teaching guitar in a way that works for me and I can do it 10 minutes and focus? You know, finding a coach can be really helpful. Finding, you know, there's so many resources out there and sometimes that can be a little overwhelming. But finding somebody that you connect with and that it just feels like a good fit, somebody that you can follow. I actually have a really severe chronic health issue. And just about a month and a half ago, I had a severe issue. It showed up again and found somebody online who takes you through it, who has a program and coaches you through it. For the first time, I've been trying to find a solution to this problem for more than 25 years. And he's broken it down in a way that works for me. And he says 15 minutes a day. It's really about half an hour a day, but that's fine with me because I'm seeing the results. You know, it's really setting that intention and putting that energy out there. This is what I want. How do I get there and who can show me? A lot of times who can show me is more important than the how. One of my sort of control questions is, how do I do this? How? And I forget sometimes that I need to look for who's already done it. You know, the Wright brothers, there are a few people who tried flying, but it really hadn't been done. Thomas Edison, it hadn't really been done. So for them, it was much harder. For us, we can see evidence of people who have done it before, seek them out, and find out what their path is and see if it fits with you.
Yes. And solutions will show up when you have that clarity of what you want and why you want it. And like we brought up, you brought up earlier, the deeper truth of really why you want it. Then, you know, from my spiritual perspective, it's really about asking, you know, asking higher self, asking, please bring this support into my space. Please show me how, because it always happens. Sometimes you have to have a little bit of patience.
Or a lot.
A kicker right there. But if you keep asking and you're really available to the answer, the people will show up, the teachings will show up, the opportunities will show up, whatever needs to show up. If you are clear on what you want and your why, will all show up. And sometimes you have to actually ask for it, ask for the support, ask for the resources, ask for the clarity of step. It always shows up, always.
Yeah, absolutely.
How can people reach you, find
you? Yeah, so I am primarily on Facebook. So it's at, you'll have the link in there, right? It's basically my Facebook page. And that's the best way to contact me is through Messenger on Facebook. I also have a landing page. So it's mylivingbudget.com where you can reach out to me as well. And I would love to answer any questions or hear from anybody who's listening.
Fantastic. And so that group is a group. What is your Facebook group? What is it about?
So it's actually just my Facebook profile.
Okay.
I do have a group as well. So I think the link I gave you just goes straight to my profile, but you're
gotcha.
Of course welcome to join my group as well, which is six figure women who are looking to take complete control of their finances. I have a 90-day program and helping women to feel empowered to take complete control of their finances in 90 days.
So potent. 90 days. Delicious. Wonderful, wonderful, my love. Thank you so much for being on here today and having this discussion with me. It was wonderful.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you.
The audience, absolutely reach out to Kim if this is resonating with you. And if, you know, you're looking to create a living budget as well, she can definitely help you with that. As always, we have our Facebook group, The Wealth Embodied, where we bring in conversations about both consciousness, creative genius, and visionary impact. And remember that every Tuesday is a solo episode. Also, we're going to have some fun. I'm bringing in some extra bonus episodes to build up for the summit that we're hosting. And then every Thursday, we have our wonderful guest episodes like today with Kim. Thank you so much, everybody, for being here, listening, and being a part of this, empowering yourself, showing up for yourself. Love you all so very much.
Thank you for being a part of Wealth Embodied. As you experience each new day, we want you to feel that you are capable of tapping into your innate abundance and living your life wealthy and aligned. If you want to be invited to the next episode, just subscribe to our podcast. And if you need more information in the meantime, go to alarasage.com.